Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone. In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone, and you sit huddled by the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight? Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone, as we investigate the darkness and shadows which make up this diamond called Earth and beyond. Check us out. Our special guest tonight in the Night Zone Shadows is our residential pagan witch, Amy, coming up next in the Shadows of the Night Zone.
David Baker is a psychic medium who makes contact with spirit guides, angels, and passed over loved ones. He passes messages of love, healing, and sometimes forgiveness. David is a certified medium and angel therapy practitioner under Dr. Doreen Virtue, Ph.D.
Check out the archives for the David Baker Show. 2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Find out what kind of a year 2012 will be, normal or prophetic, with Tim McHyde in the Night Zone.
Welcome to the Shadows
of the Night. Your host, Colin Knight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. I am your host, Colin Knight. Got a great show for you planned tonight. Amy, the pagan witch, is back with us, and we'll be looking at spring festivals between earth science, earth magic. Should be an interesting chat. On the 14th, we have Jeff from Petroglyphs in the Sky. Going to be looking at those Phoenix lights, seeing as they've made a reappearance. And on the 28th, Chris Holly and Ed Fleming from the FTTO UFO site will be back with us with some more hair-raising stories. Lots to get through in the Night Zone for the month of April. Hang in there.
Have you had a paranormal experience, a lost time incident, want to report it to someone? The FTTOUFO.com website is there for you. Electronic reporting of lost time incidents and paranormal experiences. That's the FTTOUFO.com website. Check it out. We'll be right back with Amy, our residential pagan witch, right after this. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or hosts. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR. You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Your shadow guide, Colin Knight.
Before we get to Amy, our pagan witch, I need to clear a backlog of emails on our recent show about the Illuminati with Al Kay. A number of our listeners were disturbed at the linkage of presidencies to the Illuminati, including the possible linkage with the previous administration and current. Although the Night Zone is apolitical and avoids political confrontation, the Terror Chat Network, our umbrella network, has made provisions for our more politically outspoken guests to interact with listeners. So, go to the blogtalkradio.com website and type in the search engine VOCR, Voice of the Canadian Rockies, VOCR, on blogtalkradio.com. A number of emails sent continued to connect the dots, much like a fuse being lit. Several listeners had gone in search of more information, which is never a bad thing.
Is there an Illuminati? An echelon? A Carlyle group? A Bilderberg conspiracy? Is the New World Order coming to planet Earth? Are we slaves for the upcoming Anunnaki return? Is Planet X the end of Earth? Are the revelations correct? Welcome to the shadows of my night zone. You are in the night zone on blogtalkradio.com. Your shadow guide, Colin Knight.
Your shadow guide. Now that's a pretty good name. Whoever came up with that, your shadow guide. I like that. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the night zone. Amy, good to see you online, my dear. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. I enjoy coming to visit with you, and thank you for asking me back.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I couldn't think of spring with anybody else when we sat around the stunking table and said, okay, we've got spring coming up, we've got the religious festivals, where should we go with this? And there was only one place to go, and that was our residential pagan witch, Amy.
Well, great.
So tell me, Amy, how important is the spring festival nowadays in comparison to many years ago?
I think it's very important because the reason being is all the winter, starting from Samhain and up into it, we kind of go into an introspective place, you know, contemplating where it is we want our path to go, what we need to do spiritually, kind of take out the trash kind of thing, shadow work, if you will.
Right.
And so when we spring comes, that's a time of rebirth for us. That is, you get out there and start bringing all these goals that you have thought about and improving yourself into fruition. So they're very important.
Right. I know in England when I was a wee small lad, I remember the May Day events. I remember I remember the maypoles, although their time had come and gone, but I do remember them still being in our playgrounds.
I find it funny that they're, you know, up until, I guess, 50 years or so, that they actually used to have maypole celebrations, you know, and dancing around and have no idea why they were doing so, you know.
Yeah, it became part of a celebration, and they'd lost the meaning of the May Queen and Flora and or the May King and Jack in the Green and all of those legends and fables.
Exactly. You know, and with Ostara just passed and Easter coming up, you know, there's a difference, and I don't do a lot for Ostara. My main celebration with that is that I have two granddaughters that are born around that time period, and so part of my celebration includes that I plant something new in my garden to honor them. Last year it was two different rose trees, one yellow, one pink. You know, this year I haven't decided what I'm going to do, but it will be something.
And that's part of the spring festival, going back to its earth origins, if I'm correct, is that the spring was to give life to the earth.
That is the whole point, is that, you know, because all the old ways, you know, they all get brought forward, and people don't understand that they are still doing the same things that were done. They just don't have any idea why they're still doing them. It's just like, oh, well, it's tradition, you know, we've done this, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Yes, to go out and to till the ground and to plant things that to bring forth new life, that is honoring, you know, Gaia and actually putting yourself out there and saying, hey, you know, I'm through with winter. Here we come.
Right.
You know,
we finally shook off the winter blues. I see somebody up on our call-in line, Amy. Now, I'm not sure if this is a legitimate caller or not, but we're going to give it a throw. And 512, good evening. You are on the air on blogtalkradio.com. Welcome to the channel, I think. There we go. Welcome to the channel. 512, you are on the air. I guess not. 512 doesn't want to be on the air, but they do show up on the dialer. So anyway, Amy, May the 1st is, as my cracker research team has come up with, is known as Beltane or Beltane.
Beltane, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. The history behind that is pretty incredible.
Well, you know, it honors the sexual union of the god and the goddess, which is what the rebirth is about. And it is also a time like Samhain in which the veil is the thinnest. And so those are two main times that those that have the gift that can transpose themselves and reach forward to the spirits, then this is a great time for, you know, to do so, mostly on Beltane Eve, which is like April 31st or April 30th. Then they, you know, they right there can just reach out, as sort of like on Samhain, you know. So, and actually I really don't do a lot of that, but I do have friends that do.
Right. It is one of those celebrations that is, again, as we talked about on the last time you were on the show, mm-hmm. it's one of those celebrations that has been kind of entwined with religious meaning also. So it's difficult to kind of separate the two events.
Well, there's not so much with the Beltane as far as, you know, that like the Christians pull in, because they don't do a lot of May Day other than, you know, there are celebrations like at church or whatever, but like Ostara is very close to Easter. One of the things that I found in some of my research is about the colored eggs, which, you know, is a symbol of fertility. And even in China today, like when they have a new child born at the naming ceremony, they dye the eggs red and they give them to people as blessings of prosperity into their home, you know, to bring it.
Yeah.
And so part of that was that they used to dye them and hide them for the children. Well, then when the church came in, they decided, no, maybe we don't need to do that. So what they would do is those that would still hide the eggs, the children would go find them and were given money to tell where they found these hidden eggs. Now think of the prize eggs that today that have money inside them. So some of the same things got pulled into today from, you know, sort of like from the burning times.
Yeah, I've always wondered how we got to Easter eggs and bunnies, and I've read a lot of stories about it and a lot of ideas and theories, but never really come to the definitive answer. But Easter is eggs and bunnies, and I find
they're
that kind of weird.
They're both symbols of fertility, you know.
Yeah.
You know, rabbits reproduce rapidly, and nature, of course, also reproduces rapidly, and so the egg, you know, and so that kind of got incorporated into it.
Right. Well, I'm glad we've made it through another winter. Hang in there, Amy. We're going to do a quickie and we'll be right back.
Okay.
We'll be right back with Amy, our residential pagan witch, right after this. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or hosts. We remind all of our listeners, KVADMTOR. You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. 2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Find out what kind of a year 2012 will be, normal or prophetic, with Tim McHyde in the Night Zone. Watch for the listings.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone. Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Your shadow guide, Colin Knight.
Shadow Guide. I tell you, that's quite the nickname there, Hans. You put that one together well. I'm quite impressed with that. Shadow Guide. We have a 512 holding on the line. 512. We are going to open up your microphone in a few minutes. So if you are there or in the vicinity, please get ready to answer when we do call your name. So, Amy, the spring revival, if you will, of Mother Earth. This goes back well before Christianity, well before many organized religions. Do you think this was originated by just the height of the moon and the height of the sun on the earth as basic measurements?
You know, I think that people being people everywhere, and even from the ancient days, that as they, you know, they were all kept into wherever they were sheltered in the winter as well, and so they were relieved to see the new sun come out and the warmth and feel the warmth and see the flowers blooming and things, and so then they began to honor and give thanks that they had survived a harsh winter, because you have to understand that they probably had a much harsher life than, you know, we complain about the cold and things like that, you know, but I'm sure that when they were ready to shuck off all the winter, that it was a great relief, and so then the celebrations came about, and the Celtic people, you know, in Ireland and places, that's a harsh climate, so the winters are pretty harsh, and so then when it came around, and that's where the celebrations come, and these are important celebrations for those on a Celtic path, because, you know, that's where we get our nourishment from. That's where we feel the energy that we get it.
Right.
And this is a rebirth, and so, this is an important time for us.
The Celtic festivals signal the beginning of the bright half of the year. That's the rough translation of their festival.
Yes.
In May, and it's the beginning of the bright half of the year. It translates from an old phrase of Fierce Bel,
mm-hmm.
or brilliant fire,
right?
From the god Belinus, and it's a pretty interesting story. The more you get into Celtic and pagan worship throughout the millenniums, it's pretty fantastic.
It is, and they use a bonfire, and that is like an invocation to Bel, to bring blessings and protection to the whole community, and
right.
Which is, I also use one at Samhain, and I also have one at Beltane as well, because the one at Samhain is to banish the negativity, that everything I wanted to get rid of, you know, for the winter, and I throw it into the fire. For
right.
Beltane, it's totally different. Everything I want to gather to myself, you know, the prosperity and peace and healing and things of positive nature, that is what gets asked of from the fire.
Okay. Now in this bonfire ritual,
mm-hmm.
they state that it started from 9 different woods. That one kind of threw me there, and I couldn't find the definition of what they meant by 9 different woods. Would that be like oak, elm,
yes.
birch?
Everything, every wood, and those are 3 major ones that you just named,
right.
ash as well, and rowan, they would put each one there would have to be at least a stick in this bonfire that is from, because each one of those woods has a magical property. The oak, of course, is the main thing that the druids, it's the tree of knowledge, it's the tree of life, so therefore it definitely has to be there. Rowan is a, for protection, and, you know, each wood has something different to add to it, a positive. So they gather all these woods together, and that is what they made their bonfire from. Traditionally, that's what you would do.
Right.
You know, don't have access to a lot of those, so I just make my bonfire.
Yeah, you have to make do with what's around locally, of course. But I was very surprised the similarity of this this bonfire festival, the similarity between that and a festival we have in November in England called Guy Fawkes, when we burn Guy Fawkes for trying to blow up Parliament, and he's burned on the pyre, so to speak. But we have these bonfires, and the Native Americans have their sweetgrass, their smoke ceremonies.
Yeah.
And I find it fascinating, the more I look at this smoke and sweetgrass ceremony of Native Americans, I realize that this has been done around the world for centuries.
Well, the smudging, which is what you're describing, the smoke and the sweetgrass, I also do with sage. And it's like I tell a lot of people, when you start looking at the different paths, it doesn't make any difference. If you concentrate and look and see the similarities, then you can find some common ground and the differences become minute. Therefore,
right.
Then you are able to learn to respect each other. And that's what, you know, my aim is to try and respect other people, because I think that as things are in such turmoil around us, it is our responsibility to try to do that.
So would you say that the spring is a time for cleansing of healing old wounds and letting bygones be bygones? Is it a good time for that?
I would think so. It's you know, a time of rebirth, you know, that when you, a fresh start, you know, when you go out and you start a garden, everything is fresh, and you till the earth and plant the seeds. So, yeah, I would think that even in relationships with people, that this would be a great time for you to try to find some common ground. You know, let bygones be bygones if you can, and or try to find a way to make it work. And so, yeah, this would be a great time.
Excellent. I'm going to release 512. 512, you are back on the air. Are you with us yet?
Hello, is this me?
This is you, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, I hadn't planned on asking a question. I was just calling to listen, but now that I've heard Amy talk a little bit, I'm kind of curious, if someone hasn't been raised in a pagan tradition, and as you start to learn more about it, you find that it interests you, how do you get started? Is there some procedure? How do you get involved in being involved more with pagan celebrations?
I think
that's a great question.
Yeah,
go ahead, Peggy.
Question. I think that for everyone, you need to follow what calls you. You know, that when I first started, I've had gifts, you know, as I grew, and I didn't know what they were, and so I had to do a lot of research, and that's what I recommend to people, is to start looking. You know, the internet is great for going, and you can find anything you want to know about anything, but don't just use one source. Don't just stick with there. There are great books to read, like Scott Cunningham has great books on earth magics and things like that, and Starhawk has Spiral Dance, and you know, just keep looking and keep researching. There are so many authors out there, and a lot of them write about the same things, but they come from a different perspective. And what you have to do is find something that speaks to you, and because as you read and as you and talk to people, You know, you're going to be surprised at how many pagan people there are actually out there. Not all of us are open, because in a lot of times, you know, it gets a little hairy. Especially, I live in a small southern town, and so sometimes I kind of get some odd looks and some things said, you know, but you just learn to kind of brush it off because you just chalk it up to ignorance.
Well, again, Amy, as I mentioned in the last show, you mm-hmm. don't walk around with a big black pointed hat and fly into the grocery store on a broom.
No, I look like everybody else.
exactly.
I am not the typical witch, or not one that people would think that I was witch, because a lot of times I am less vocal about, you know, people say, well, you know, I don't like those people over there because they don't like me, and I'm like, respect. You know, I teach respect, I preach respect. That's my soapbox right there.
I couldn't tell you the number of people in my life that are Catholic or Christian or Presbyterian. I wouldn't know, so it would make no difference to me whether you were or weren't a witch. 512, did that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, that was good. I got one more follow-up if we got time.
Assuming that
you do a little bit of digging and you find some things and sort of follow what interests you, how do you know if you're doing it right?
If it feels right to you. See, the way I practice is not the same as the way somebody else would practice. You have to make, it doesn't matter what path you're on spiritually. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, pagan, Wiccan, whatever you are. It's that your spiritual path is about you, and you have to make it about who you are as a person. If it feeds your spirit, then you're doing it correctly. If you're doing something and you find that this is not working for you, well, then, you know, discard it and find something that does work for you.
I think you have to work within the harmony of yourself, and I think you hit it right on the nail, Amy. And speaking of following our path, my producer is waving his arms like crazy.
On the 7th of April, we have Amy, the pagan witch, returning with us, her special sense of spring. And on the 14th, Petra glyphs in the sky. Jeff is back with us to tell us more of the Phoenix Lights.
Let me take you on a journey to Phoenix, Arizona. UFOs are among us. South Mountain, where the petroglyphs show evidence that the Indians knew all about this. March 13, 1997, the UFOs showed their presence, the Phoenix Lights.
Oh,
and it was seen by masses. Still people hating, still people doubting. Roosevelt came through and destroyed all the petroglyphs on the mountain, cause they knew they amounted to something, but they didn't want to admit. Now we got rumors of a UFO base under the cliffs. Vortex is letting out lights day and night. I wonder what's happening on the walls, what they write. When the light shines just at the right time, you can see snakes devour the heads of mankind. Petroglyphs in the sky, watch them UFOs fly by. We in the southwest Arizona, Sonoran Desert, UFOs are among us.
You are in the night zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTO, welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone.
And welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone. We have with us tonight our residential pagan witch, Amy, and we've had gentlemen on air listening to the pagan side of life. So, Amy, where could a person get more information regarding the pagan lifestyle or whatever? Are there registered associations or groups?
There are. A great site would be witchbox.com. They actually have, you can type in and say, I'm looking for a group wherever it is that you live, and
right.
put it in. And they up comes the sites. Now, some groups are closed, which means that they're not accepting new members. But they are, you know, they will speak to you. There are some that, you know, are open, and so you're free to come, and if you choose to join or whatever, then that's a great thing. But they are have a list of people from all over the world, actually, of pagan people, and they also have people that come in and write different things, you know, different essays about things that are going on in the pagan
right.
community.
Like a message board.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. And so you can contribute to that through this witchbox.com?
Mm-hmm. Witchbox.
Witchbox.com.
Witch's voice, witchbox. Witch, V-O-X.
Okay, witchbox.
Mm-hmm. And yes, you can join the site, and you feel free to read and contribute if you want to. And there are people on there that sometimes sell their wares for different things. You know, people are great about making things and you know, for altar right. tools and things like that. So,
like chalices or mementos, bracelets,
mostly like wands and staffs. And, you know,
right.
some people may have crystals and things to sell or whatever, herbs. But the main thing about Witchbox is bringing the pagan community together
right.
and to disseminate information. They even have things that are in the news that pertain to pagans, like when the United States military agreed to let the pentacle be put on pagan tombstones of soldiers that were serving in the military. You know, like sometimes they put the cross or whatever on there,
uh-huh.
Or Star of David. Well, because these people were pagan, they wanted to have the pentacle put on there, and it's just until recently that they now are allowing that for pagan troops, which I think is great. You know, that was their faith. So
I'm surprised they would resist it, but yeah, I am kind of shocked that a person's religion wasn't permitted on their death stone, for the love of God. You'd think right. had they given to their country, then they would have that right, but I guess not, eh?
Well, it's misinformation. You know, people think it's satanic, which I don't have any, I have satanic friends, I don't have any problem with that. But the pentacle right. itself is not satanic, it is a pagan symbol that is, you know, represents spirit and the element and how you are connected with the energy. And so once people got past their misinformation and ignorance, then they understood it better and
right.
agreed to do so.
Right. And you know, again, we can get into the meanings of pentagrams and all of that, but the fact is that the religion of pagan, the Druid, the Celt, the Picts, predates Christianity by at least 3,000 or 4,000 years.
Oh, at least. You know,
at least, if not longer.
Yes, and to have people, you know, to say, well, Christianity was first, and I'm like, nope, sorry.
No, not even close.
No, you know, I've had some discussions with some people who were misinformed, and you know, like, well, Easter is the reason why we celebrate, and I'm like, no, I mean, you might,
no,
but
not.
I don't, you know, that.
Yeah.
But the reason why it is so close, you know, the church, when they tried to convert all the pagan people, took the pagan customs and
right.
put it as close to, if not on, the actual date that was being celebrated, and incorporated
exactly.
enough of the pagan to appease the people, and so then they converted them to Christianity, you know, so.
Yep. I remember, now this wasn't that long ago, and I don't want to sound like I'm ancient, but I remember going to church as a wee small lad in spring, and going to the spring festival in church, which was actually a pagan worship at the time. Everybody knew it was, but the church tended to hijack it, and it became a spring mass, if you will. So you know, there's a lot of intertwining of religion and earth science that many people don't realize.
Exactly. There's, well, the alchemists from the old days are today's scientists, you know. So I just sit amazed sometimes and thinking, you know, if you even had just a glimmer of a clue, you know, then you would understand him. But people, I have no idea. They're sheep.
Yeah. They show in the you know, in the Middle East that they actually had hydraulic systems with water, and they could move water about their country using pressurized hydraulic systems. That they had moving rail cars, that they had a trolley system well before anything of the Western world could come up with, and we think that we are advanced. Well, we may be advanced with this thing called plastic, but when we look at the advancement of what these people were capable of compared to what we are capable of today, it's almost an embarrassment.
It is. And, you know, the Romans had the aqueducts, and they actually got them from the, you know, ancient days, from the Celts, because the Celts had ways of making the water. And so when the Romans came and they started to invade, they're like, hey, we kind of like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just a borrowing of sorts. And
yet the Romans stole technology from all over Europe, no doubt about it.
They conquered everybody, so they had to take
it.
You know.
Exactly. It became the spoils of the world. Exactly. So, Amy, are there any larger gatherings of the May Festival? I know in England there's one on Salisbury Plain that is massive. They're going to do the, what do they call it now? They call it the Life of Soul, or the Life Has Soul. I think it's called the Life of Soul Celebration. And, you know, they're going to get down and do the whole May Day thing on the Salisbury Plain in England. Is there anything like that in North America?
Not that I know of, that I have not heard of any big celebrations. I'm sure there are pagan groups that get together that do have Beltane celebrations. But as far as knowing anything like that, I haven't heard any.
Yeah, I've looked around on the internet and I've been unable to find anything of any large gathering. There are a number of smaller groups that are getting together to do their bit, but, you know, I agree, no national. It seems to be an English, Scottish, Irish type of festival.
However, I came across this today, and there is a rare ritual the Jews have. It happens at dawn tomorrow. It is called the Birkat Hakama, or Blessing of the Sun. And it marks the moment when the sun returns to the spot in the sky it occupied during creation. So in hundreds of places all over, from Israel to Italy, everywhere, observant Jews plan to rise before dawn for outdoor prayers and dancing, which I find fascinating because it is, you know, it's pagan for me.
Yeah.
That, you know, this is, but it happens like every 28 years or so. You know, it's like, hasn't been done. It's a ritual that happens once every 28 years.
Wow.
And so there are people that are actually coming to these festivals for the first time. They've never, ever had it happen for them.
Right.
And they say they are not worshiping the sun, but paying homage to God. For me, you know, the sun god, it's the rebirth, you know, and it's all pagan. So I find this an interesting celebration in the Jewish community, you know, that I had never heard of.
I find it fascinating how many of these dates collide, and they always seem to have something to do with the sun or with the stars. There always seems to be a connection.
Well, you know, the druids are they were from the sun. They pull,
right.
And that is their thing. And so a lot of these festivals, especially in the spring, all revolve around the sun god.
Right.
And so I find it intriguing that so many paths all have similar dates. And part of that is because they were all peoples in the same area. And so, of course, they would all know about the different celebrations. And so this
right.
particular people would have their own celebration and call it something else, you know.
Right.
And so as it evolved during the years, you know, over the centuries, they call it something else. But it's all the same.
But all based on one seed of idea or thought or belief. It may have its little branches, but it's still one trunk of a certain belief, isn't it?
Yes. It's God exists in everything. You know, whatever
right.
your theory of God is, whatever, you know, whatever you call it, higher power, creator, God, exists in everything. There is, science has proven that every living thing, everything in the universe has energy, whether it's still or it's in motion. Everything has energy. Everything is connected one to another. And so for as a people to say, well, I'm not like this one over here, that's, you know, totally ridiculous, because you are connected one to another, even if you don't believe the same. You don't have
right.
to all be the same. It would be boring if we all believed the same, really. I mean, then we'd just be cookie cutter people, you
right.
know, and no original thought. And then what would we do?
I think we are all of the same spirit. And I think we're just, again, we're just budding branches of that spirit, and we all go about our own way. Some of us grow correctly and do what is expected, and some are wild and crazy and need to be pruned.
Well, it's the tree of life. You know, I
yeah.
know you've seen the pictures of the tree of life and all the branches that are spreading out, and that's us. You know, we're all going in different directions, yet we're all reaching upward. If you'll notice,
and
the tree goes upward.
Right, and isn't it interesting that a menorah does exactly the same thing?
Exactly. It is the same as a tree of life. And I don't think they've ever thought of it like that, but I got that connection as well. And it's all reaching upward, which is what we're supposed to do, is to ascend upward. We're supposed to walk our path and to improve ourselves. And our path begins and ends with us. You know, it has to be about who we are as a person. And so we're always striving to learn. We're always striving to make ourselves a better person, because when we make ourselves a better person, then in turn, it is reflected outward into the universe. You know,
right.
And so then we can, in turn, make our place a better place.
And you see, you led me right into it perfectly. You should be a DJ sidekick, because, as you said, we walk our path. As the Night Zone continues to search for each facet of the diamond called Earth, we call upon our many listeners on numerous continents to rally the call for more information. Scour the lands! Search the valleys, climb the mountains, those untouched facets of information which are hidden within the clutter of mainstream media's frenzy of the day.
People of the Night Zone, bring me your shadows.
Bring me your stories. Contact the show through the blogtalkradio.com webpage, type Night Zone in the search engine, or email us at Gmail. Just type The Night Zone, THENIGHTZONE, no spaces, at gmail.com.
The Night Zone at gmail.com. In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled by the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, where shall we be with thee tonight? You're in the Night Zone with call-in night. Have you had a paranormal experience, a lost time incident, or reported to someone? The FTTOUFO.com website is there for you. Electronic reporting of lost time incidents and paranormal experiences. That's the FTTOUFO.com website. Check it out today. Your shadow guide, Colin Knight.
It's something about that shadow guide. I don't know. I'm kind of liking it, but it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies at the same time. Shadow guide. I don't know. We're going to have to work on that one, Hans. I'm not quite sure. I have with me tonight Amy, our residential pagan witch, and we're discussing the spring festivals and the likes. And Amy, during this time, do you notice... let me back up. I have noticed in the last couple of months how many shootings and mass killings and mayhem seems to be in this world. Do you sense this as an earth science? Do you sense a change in the consciousness of people?
There has been actually a weird energy ever since the beginning of the year. The moon was in Mercury. It was in retrograde. And everybody I have talked to has said there's been the weirdest energy. You know, everybody just felt sluggish. They felt snappy. You know, just weird things going on. And I think that part of that has to do is because in some places the winter and stuff was so harsh that no one could get out and right. do things. And I'm not really sure... I'm hoping that with this new coming season and the turning of the wheel, that actually the energy will start to dissipate and kind of be freer. I can already feel that it's not quite as bad as it was before. But I think a lot of times people are stressed because they don't know what to expect with, like, the economy and things like
right.
that. So they just kind of reacting.
Yeah, I think... you know, I've been really concerned, especially this last 2 or 3 months. It does appear that there's been a great deal of mayhem, chaos, murder, and senseless violence that I have never seen a level of it that I'm seeing recently. And, you know, John Hogue, let me just jump in on this one. John Hogue came up with a very good statement during one of our interviews, and I'll just play this for you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight. Boy, have we got a good show for you tonight. Hang in there.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
And real interesting that the next area is about knowing as we move into the Aquarian Age. Could that be the shift we're sensing, Amy, do you think?
I think so. I think that a lot of people know things, but they don't know how they know things, which is how I explain my gifts. You know, it's like, I know, but I don't know how to tell you how I know.
Right.
You know, so I think that people are going to start making an effort to be more connected to one another because there's so much disarray around us. But you have to understand, too, chaos is needed. A lot of people get freaked out when they have a lot of chaos going on because they're like, oh, my gosh, out of chaos comes and rebirth. You know,
right.
You see all these places where they have the earthquakes, well, they rebuild. Right? They had the monsoons and the tsunamis. They rebuild. you know,
right.
out of the chaos. I know it's really harsh to go through at the time, but sometimes it's necessary, and that's nature's way of taking care of things. When things get out of kilter, she
right.
tears it up and starts over.
It Mother Earth is most definitely a living, breathing entity that will make its own decisions of what where it wants to go as far as its own forward thinking is concerned, if you will. Mother Earth is going to either destroy itself just through natural process or will maintain order by any means possible. And if we have poisoned the Earth, as people claim with the global warming and what have you, Mother Earth will correct. We may not like the correction, but Mother Earth will correct.
Yes. You know, we always have a time where we're saying, good grief, what is going on? But she always has a reason behind what she's doing. I mean, think about it. When, you know, you start a project or are writing something and you don't like the way it turns out, well, start over. And that's what she's saying, you know. You know, I don't like the direction I'm going. This is going here. Let's tear it up and start over. And that's pretty much it. And people have to understand that out of the chaos comes the rebirth. And that's too. And that's what this time of year is about. You know, is a renewal of everything. You know, ourselves and our world around us. And I think that people need to start paying attention more. And to each other, being kinder to each other, being kinder to the earth, and use this time as a time of flourishing in everything.
Right, and I think we're going to see the economy moving more back to a community systems. I think you'll see that your communities will support each other. And there'll be more local produce as opposed to lettuce from Mexico and potatoes from Brazil. I think you'll see a lot more local farming done over the next few years.
I agree with that. And I think that this is going to be a time for people to get back to doing what we've always done. And that is depending on ourselves, becoming taking care of our neighbors. You know, and reaching out, because we as a people need to learn to do that. We've gotten so far away of, you know, we kind of outgrew ourselves, you know. And so this is a time of coming back and reconnecting to the earth, because she needs us to start taking better care of ourselves, taking better care of her, and doing what we were already supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I was doing some reading on an upcoming show we're doing on global warming, and I was shocked to find out that 20%, which is four times the payload of humans, 20% of methane gas that is released into the Earth's atmosphere that causes global warming is produced by cows.
I think that... that's just a joke.
No, it's genuinely
true. I mean, I believe that they do, but I don't think that they are the sole reason. You know, nature probably laughed when she heard that.
But there's also a rebalance. There has to be, you know, no matter...
Well, for everything, there is a balance. As
exactly.
above, so below. You know, for every thing, you know, for light, there's dark. For good, there's evil, yada, yada. You know,
right.
There is always two sides of the same coin. So there is always a balance. She's always in balance. So even for you to say, you know, okay, it's the cow's fault. Well, what is the other side? You know,
well, no, it's the people that are eating those big juicy steaks and hamburger and all of that other good stuff. It's their fault, which means I guess it's my fault because... You know, there's nothing better than a good Alberta T-bone steak. I'm sorry, it just doesn't get any better. So I guess I'm contributing to the delinquency of the human race.
Well, I think that there's also, if it's cow's fault, then there has to be something else that helps balance it out. If they're the bad side, then there has to be a part that is the good side. which means there has maybe there's an animal somewhere that actually helped balance that out. But
yeah.
I think the worst animal that contributes to the global warming is we as human beings.
Well, we're definitely not helping, that's for darn sure. I mean, you know, we can't even, you know, we are the only animal supposedly intelligent on Earth, yet we live within our own waste. We bury it underneath us, and hopefully we don't have to dig it up again.
Exactly.
You know, it's pretty silly.
So I think that we as a people need to get back and connected to the Earth. We need to do a better job at taking care of sustaining her so that, you know, she can continue to do the job of sustaining us. You know, it's a cycle, and we walk the circle. And I think that for us to get so educated that we are outsmart ourselves, you know, is a thing.
Right. I don't think we've paid enough attention to Mother Earth scientifically, I must admit. I genuinely do not think that we know enough about the land that we live on. Even though we know a great deal, I don't think we've actually scratched the surface of what's really going on.
I agree with that. I think that they were so involved in looking to the stars that they forgot the Earth that was under their feet. And so I think there's a great deal to be learned.
Well, the Night Zone, we try and walk every inch of terra firma while looking at the stars. And I got to tell you, it's a massive universe out there. And if we are the most intelligent beings in this universe, then the universe is in serious trouble. So I thank goodness that there are people like you, Amy, that continue to appreciate Mother Earth and all of its blessings. It's a very important, I think it's a very important energy that you and others need to keep going.
I agree. I think that everybody needs to continue to reach out to each other and to do what they can and do their part. You know, it doesn't have to be big and it doesn't have to be massive. You know, just make an effort. That's all she's asking. You know, make an effort. And
right.
I think that I hope everybody has a great spring. I hope that everybody thinks of a positive thing to do for themselves, to better their life for themselves, because that's what this is about.
And definitely blessings upon you, Amy. We've come to the end of another hour. I do appreciate you sharing some time with me tonight.
Well, I thank you for inviting me back. I always enjoy being here.
We'll look forward to seeing you again, my dear. You take care of yourself now.
You too.
Hey, Night Zoners. Got a minute? I'm sure we all know someone who is experiencing difficult times during this recession, either with unemployment or financial problems, or in relationships. I have friends like that. I would like to remind you that we are all in this together. So if you have friends experiencing hardships, support them with your advice. If you have acquaintances who are having rough times, nurture them with your friendship. Show them kindness. If you have family members who are having difficulties, show them your love. And if you have people in your life who have almost given up, throw them a lifeline of kindness. Remember the golden rule, but for the grace of God, go I. Blessings upon your household. Until then, next time we meet, God bless.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Production in association with BlogTalkRadio.com.